And the calamine lotion while you're at it.
Do what?
I said, and the calamine lotion while you're at it.
You want to grab the calamine
lotion? I have an itchy spot. It's driving me nuts.
Yarr!
Yarr!
It's driving me nuts.
Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Hello. Hi there. Hey there. Whoa there and ho there. You know the name and game. It's the podcast.
And what's the name of the podcast?
Well, Sandy, the name of the podcast is Everything is Traumatic, but if they listen to the fucking intro, it says the name.
Oh, I forgot there's an intro.
Oh, no, see, it was supposed to be playful. Now it just sounds like I'm emotionally abusing you. It's terrible. Okay, if you guys haven't figured it out, Jeff has been... on the road again and could not join us. A lot of people don't know this about Jeff. This is a fun fact. I mean, I know Jeff wouldn't mind if I just divulged this to people. He wouldn't care. Jeff likes to travel. And
that's scandalous.
Well, it's not. That's not the scandalous part. It's the way he likes to travel. He likes to, the best word I can describe it is like homeless cosplay.
Is he hitchhiking? Oh my God. I was kidding. Jeff.
Look.
Either
way.
No, I'm sorry. I feel like we just need to take a pause for the cause. And acknowledge that that is serial killer behavior.
Listen.
Sorry, Jeff.
First of all, that's my best friend.
I'm just saying, where are the last five cities he visited?
Where are the last? Look, okay. I just, like I said, I don't want to talk too much about him. I don't want to divulge all this personal information. That's not...
Are you his co-cons? Are you guys killing people without me?
What? No. That sounded fake, but I assure you. Even I wouldn't buy that. But, you know, so Jeff isn't here. That's okay, because we are joined once again by... You can't see it because there's no video, but Sandy is, I'm joined by my wonderful partner and comedian Sandy Pickles, who is sucking on a...
comically large.
Yes, very comically large. Do you want to say it again? Because I feel like I cut you.
No, it's just a comically large lollipop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
It's also like, well...
It's phallic in nature.
Yeah, it's phallic in nature.
Yeah, it's not a round lollipop. It there's an implication.
Yeah, there is. Especially when I turned to look at her while I was introducing her.
Yeah, so we're doing an anti-episode.
Yeah, yeah, you've dubbed this the anti-episode, and I think Jeff would be for it. I bet you he wishes he was here for it.
Yeah,
so what?
Yeah, no doubt.
What's the anti? What anti? Tell me what an anti-episode is.
I think that an anti-episode is just an episode with minimal forethought and... intention. I think that it is something more spontaneous and just maybe not fully anti, but in the sense that we don't have any expectations.
Yeah, there's no There's no plan, people. There's really not a fucking plan. And I know it sounds like we always have a plan. We have a loose plan a lot of the time. We have a very loose idea of what we're going to talk about. But
so I guess it's not all that anti.
No, it is. No, it is. Because this time, like, we are going to be talking about mental health stuff and trauma and all that. But
that's the brand, baby.
That's the, that's the brand. But this week, we're going to be talking about, this is what you pitched and I loved it. We're going to be talking about creativity. Is traumatic.
Yeah. I think it's, the idea is that any person who does anything creative, whether it be something physically that you create, something with audio, if you are a visual performer, if you are an entertainer, if you do any sort of writing, poetry, sculpting, podcasting, I mean, even just like learning an instrument or continuing to like maintain that craft, there's just so much self-judgment. And I think that with a creative side, you also have an incredibly critical side. And a lot of creatives just are sort of sensitive people, more or less.
Yeah.
And it's hard to put like self-expression out there and allow it to be what it is and not what you expect it to be or what you think it should be. And it can be really discouraging. And that's kind of how we came to this, was, you know, with Jeff not being here and our work schedules just not really complementing one another, it was difficult to put the episode out. And so acknowledging that while it may not be the best, or it may not be your favorite, or it may not be the one that receives the most attention, that there's still a value in practicing your craft.
I mean, for me, I view myself as a very creative person, and almost to a very bad fault, where I think my self-work is, or my, I think my self-worth is in the art that I produce, when it's, that's not true, but it's hard. Like, I have such a strong urge to just do the thing and do these things. And it's hard. It's hard. I feel so, and you guys hear it a lot. So, it's a podcast staple. I feel unmotivated and tired. And it just feels very heavy. Like, just like this week alone, I just like sit on the couch and fucking watch YouTube videos I don't give a shit about and scroll on social media. And like, it just all feels like very heavy to do the thing and like, get into it and try to create something when I just don't have the energy.
When everything feels like shit, it's just, why do I want to do this shit thing? Why do I want to write a shit script or a shit routine? Like, then I'm going to go to a shitty show and the audience will be shitty and I'll be shitty.
And everything. It's
the drink prices are going to be shitty.
And someone's going to make a distasteful trans joke at the open mic. Like, fuck. Great.
It is a staple, isn't it?
And yeah, when, and I don't know, it feels like everyone, and maybe it is just me, but it feels like just, there's just more of a, everyone's like more depressed, and like, I get it. Like,
yeah.
We're kind of in a shitty, in a shitty place.
Yeah. It'd be weird if you couldn't acknowledge that. But it's, you know, doing the creative thing as a creative person, despite the value you believe it to have, or that you evaluate it or you appraise it to, like, you know, it's, being creative is like thriving in the uncertainty, or learning to at least tolerate it. Because unlike other things, like, if you go to school, like, you know, you study harder, you do exams, like, you get a diploma that says, hey, you're good at this thing, or you were at least good enough to get through this thing. And then you get a job in that thing. Mm-hmm. And you know that if you show up every day and if you, you know, you'll be successful at least to a point where someone is able to say like, hey, you accomplished this well enough. And you receive like some sort of compensation for that, mostly monetary, but like maybe in other ways where it fulfills you like emotionally or mentally. But the thing with like creativity and putting something out there, whether, you know, whatever the media, that's what I'm trying to think of. There's really no immediate feedback to that, right? Like it's not, there's no instant gratification as far as like, if you're trying to gauge its success in the public. But like, I think that's the thing with art is like, it's so faith-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it's hard to just have faith in yourself and constantly back the thing that you're putting out there when it's, I mean, you're shooting fish in a barrel, really.
Yeah. And it's also just like, not having the funds to reach a bigger audience. And like, yes, at the end of the day, the content of what you produce, whether it be a painting or a good set or a short film, it is crucial, but it's like, you can make a great ass fucking thing, but if like you can't, it becomes inherently capitalistic because you have to now market this thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. To be able to continue to do the thing that you enjoy. To actually
fund the thing you want to do.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to make it into a product to sell it. And it's like, is art a product? Is all of it a business, or is it expressing yourself? And it's like, honestly, it's both. It is. Yeah. These two things are true.
Yeah.
You make it a business so you can do it. But fuck, is it hard to do that?
Yeah. And I mean, even if you're not making it for anything other than like the enjoyment of creating something, I mean, even if you're not trying to put it out to the public to be evaluated, I think at least for me, a lot of the time, like if I'm painting something or, crafting, like physically crafting an object, it typically looks different in my head than it does on paper. And I have a hard time getting past that and not like having the talent or the know-how or the experience to be able to like put what's in my head in my hands.
Right.
So, you know, and I guess the same can be said for comedy. Like, I don't really know if a joke is good, and I enjoy doing comedy and I enjoy putting it out there for people, but I never know how it's going to be received. And there's so many variables to that as well.
Mm. Yeah. And like, that's something I need to think of. Are you okay?
Yeah, I just...
Do you need to sneeze? Because you can go ahead and sneeze.
I felt like I had to, and then I was able to like dial it back, and now it's just like stuck.
Oh no.
In my nasal passage, and it's like making my eye.
Oh god, you going doing Force Whitaker. Whitaker.
Yeah, it made me go full forest.
And I mean, yeah, just taking away trying to make a living at it, because that is my focus and that's my shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just thinking about trying to do it on your own. Like, you're right. You don't get an immediate feedback until you put it out there in front of someone, until you ask someone to look at it and...
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. Can you look at this thing? Does this thing look cool?
Yeah.
How does this look? Or how does this sound? Does this joke work? Oh, does this work?
Right. Does this thing I am creating connect with the audience that...
Well, again, like trying to take like a business or audience out of it. Like if I was just like these paintings that you see on the wall that I have made and don't... Sure, I post them on social media or whatever, but... Really, it's just like having someone look at it and it's like, does this say anything to you? Does this reach you? Does this make you think feel. Or feel?
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
and like 9 times out of 10, like even when a kid comes up with a shitty fucking crayon drawing, you can see a little Picasso in there. Like there's always a little bit of like merit and sneeze. Fucking sneeze.
I can't. I like can't.
Are you sneeze shy? A little sneeze shy. Okay. Didn't hear Maggie. I thought we were going to hear her. Uh-oh.
Should we just start it?
No, no. Yeah, we'll leave it in. We'll leave it in.
No, anti-episode. Don't leave it in.
Anti-episode. Okay, we'll cut it out. No. Tyler. Future Tyler, if you're listening to this, don't cut it out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like hard to. I don't know. I mean, I guess I do create some things solely for me, but I also, I feel like I and a lot of people create things to share, like to, for the purpose of connection and for the purpose of like, not necessarily presenting it to someone else, but just being able to share in the joy of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's, I don't think that I've, I mean, God damn it. We got a new kitten. Okay. And he's like, he's pretty sweet. But he is incessantly vocal and incredibly terroristic and noisy. So, sorry.
Well, this is awkward, Sandy. So let's bring out Max, everybody.
Or are you going to... Oh. Oh boy. Hey buddy. Oh my god. I feel like we've just fallen off the rails.
Yeah, but it's an anti episode. Come here, you little.
Like, we'll cut this out. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I guess there's some things that, like, if I'm writing something or like journaling, I guess while that can be considered creative, it doesn't feel like a creative act. I don't know. I guess a lot of, in my mind, things that are created are typically something that's witnessed, right? Like,
well, I mean, I'm okay. I'm curious. What do you mean by like it's witnessed?
I mean, I guess if we're talking about things that are like the basics of what you would consider to be creative is like any kind of like painting, drawing, sculpting, any kind of like graphic art or design,
mm-hmm.
any kind of music that is like written or what's the thing?
Calligraphy. No.
No, orchestrated is
conducting.
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking orchestrated and I could do was the wand motion.
Yeah.
Or like comedy, making movies, writing scripts, like all of those things are kind of done with the intention that it will be witnessed.
I mean, I would say yes and no.
Okay.
Just because like some people will just like write scripts and not let anyone read it. Just the same way if someone would have a diary that no one is really supposed to read, or poetry that they write on their own, but it's like just a release. It's the same similar thing that it could be kind of therapeutic to put that thought or feeling to paper with words, or, you know.
Interesting.
At least I know some people that do that. But I also, like, agree that, like, ultimately, because art is a form of expression, which means that you want to connect with someone. You want to connect to an audience. You want to connect to everyone, a group right, of people right. or a certain group of people. You want them to feel what you're feeling because we all share these feelings.
Yeah.
It's just evoking them in that certain moment, whether it is gathering everyone for a comedy show to laugh, to everyone going to watch a really sad movie and thinking about the horrors of humanity. Either way, we are expressing a thought, idea, theme with a, just a at least for me, a dire need to connect.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the lens that I was looking through, just because the creative thing that I do the most is comedy. Mm. And I do that to share with anyone who will listen.
Yeah. Go ahead and do an easy five right now.
Right. But like, I mean, even though that is like my favorite creative activity to indulge in and participate in, I dread it so often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think the fear of it not connecting to the audience, especially because the material that I have, I think could be considered pretty vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so expressing kind of that dark comedy to a crowd and it not landing makes me feel very alone in that moment when I am essentially bearing my soul, whether it be in joke form or not. Like, it's still, either way, that's what I am expressing. And so if it doesn't land, if it doesn't resonate with anyone, it's just
kind of it feels very embarrassing to just be like, oh, I laid everything out for you.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of shame in that, and like it's taken quite some time to kind of be okay with that and learn how to sit in that in the moment and allow it, make space for it, and continue my set.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, like I did a show recently and we sat there and I kind of debated back and forth with you as to like whether or not the crowd would be responsive to some of my planned jokes, the jokes that I prefer to tell, the ones that I know the best and most comfortable telling, whatever. But just discussing that, like, the crowd didn't look like this would fit for them, and then having to kind of adjust this plan. And I, you know, that's not always fun to do on the fly. So there's just a lot of things that make you feel discouraged.
Yeah. I mean, it's a constant, it feels like a constant imposter syndrome with it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. That's the best way to describe that for sure.
Like, what makes you so fucking special to.
Right.
Do this. Sorry, I've been fucking with the cat the whole time, trying to contain him.
Yeah.
Oh, God, fuck. He's on the move.
Hey, buddy.
Yep, he's going right for Sandy, folks. This cute little bugger could be yours.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, like, fuck, that really, a lot of side tangents this episode, a lot of distractions, a lot of things, yeah. But we're taking some creative choices to do this kind of episode in a fucking deconstructed way to where, like, none of it matters. Take out the professionality of it. This is real life. Real life doesn't sound like a perfectly recorded podcast. Fucking tools.
He scared the cat. Also, is professionality a word?
No.
Okay.
Almost positive it's not.
I didn't think, but I also didn't want to just be like, that's not a word, because sometimes I'm wrong.
Here's the thing about words.
If I know what you mean and it gets your point across, it's a word. I agree. I just wanted to know. Okay?
Doing this. Every fucking prick wants to be like, is that a word? This is not in accordance to Sandy, naturally, because I love her. but everyone else who's like, is that a word? Is that a word? Are you sure that's a word? Is that in the dictionary? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it in the made-up book? Is it in the book of made-up words? Because every word is made up?
Isn't YOLO in the dictionary now?
I don't know. I'm going to feel officially like an old man when they put bussin' in the dictionary.
Bussin'.
And they could have already done that.
You know, that's a word I wish I used more often. I do love when the kids say bussin'.
Bussin'.
Yeah.
It is. It's a good, like, good on that. Some of the slang is good.
Yeah.
I like some of the
and
slang.
And what? I mean, that's, I like.
That's creative.
That's what I was trying to say. Words are just really hard.
Words are creative.
I have a cat in one hand and a lollipop in the other. Okay.
Yep, a phallic object in one and a pussy in the other. Truly a bisexual that's... queen, folks.
How did I describe it at comedy? Queer adjacent.
Yeah. An offshoot.
Yeah, sorry. You know what? I'm not sorry. Fuck you guys. This is the anti-episode.
Actually, guys, we do love you. Like, we say sorry. These... No, you're good. I called him a tool earlier.
Defending the art.
I called the audience a tool earlier, and I just wanted to say, guys, don't mean it. You know, it's fine. We do love you.
We're just mad at the system, folks.
We are just a little mad at the system, and you know, I just I kind of miss Jeff. I wish he wasn't on the road. I just kind of wish he had a better hobby than that, but like, I'm not going to take that away from him. And again, like I said earlier, I don't want to divulge too much information, but like, there are certain states he's not allowed to go in, and he certainly tries to go to them. And I don't want to divulge too much, guys, but I just, you know.
So Jeff's the serial killer.
What if he was, though?
I mean...
Would anyone be surprised? Let us know in the comments.
Is Jeff a serial killer?
Is Jeff a serial killer? Like, that's... see, the kitty's being a dick now. This is great podcasting, folks. We ruined the mood. Top-notch entertainment. But here's the thing. Come here, kitty.
I mean, I feel like this is that... energy, though, that, like, at least for me, inspires a lot of my creativity, of just being so sick and tired that nothing fucking matters, that the tone then changes from like, nothing fucking matters, it doesn't matter anyway, but like, if you just kind of tweak the tone on that, it can go from that to like, well, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah,
it becomes a much more like casual, lighthearted, like,
yeah, say the silly thing.
Yeah, rather than resenting the fact that like this episode is unhinged and unplanned and insane and all over the place. Like, we're just, it doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
Yeah, because maybe somebody's going to listen to this and be having the same day and just be able to connect with the craft of like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. It's too hard to do the things I love to do. And despite all of that maybe being true, like, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, and I guess I would also emphasize, like, be patient and have balance. It's okay to have an off day if you're not feeling it that day.
For sure. I think it's just having the faith that, like, there will be days where you are on.
Yeah.
And off days aren't forever.
Yeah, off days aren't forever. And yeah,
so you stick to the routine. You do the thing. You put an episode together. You write a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You paint the thing.
Yep.
Even if you're just, you know, sharpening the pencil, like doing the next right thing and putting that foot forward is ultimately what creates creative success, is just, despite it all, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, it's like, it's something that I enjoy, and
yeah,
I have to like constantly remind myself that I love doing these things.
Yeah, I feel better after I do the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels a lot better to like do the podcast and say what's on my mind and share my feelings and put that out there, because people aren't alone. We all have the same feelings.
Yeah. We all live very similar lives, but we're made to feel that we can't trust or be vulnerable to our neighbor. We can't share these things. And, you know, it's just It's silly. It's absurd.
Yeah.
It's inappropriate to expect everyone to be on all the time.
Yeah. Not everyone's going to be on. Yeah. Sometimes people are off.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the show in Bristol, was that last weekend?
I think it was like, yeah, it was like, last weekend?
Oh yeah, it was just a week ago. I didn't want to do that show.
No.
I didn't want to do that show at all. I didn't want to do it even a little bit. There was no part of me. I mean, we were sitting there. No, we were on our way.
Yep.
And I was just expressing that not a single part of me was interested in going up there. None of me.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a killer night. We had so much fun. My set did well. The audience was fantastic. Every comedian, I mean, they killed it. It was a beautiful night. And I couldn't be more grateful for that experience and those people and just being able to share in that moment of expression and just being in that creative energy. And I felt so much better afterwards.
And you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to be this guy that you've done a total of how many of these Venus Envy shows at Bristol at Blue Ridge Comedy Club?
I think I have done.
Because I feel like I've went with you every time.
I believe you have. Is this the third?
I think this is the third time.
Yeah.
So every time that I've went and I've seen you perform and I've seen So Venus Envy is, it's like, I don't know if it's a monthly thing, but they do it every once in a while.
I don't know the time frame of it. I don't know if it's like a quarterly thing. I think there may have been.
I think it might be.
Six of them, eight of them.
Yeah.
So not all that often, but yeah, it's an all female, all women identifying lineup. Those are some good ASMR cat crunches in the background.
Yeah, let's just appreciate this for a second, folks. Eating. He's looking for the good pieces.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Lord. That was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
What a dick.
We'll cut that out.
His timing's off.
Yeah.
So Venus Envy is an all women lineup that the Blue Ridge Comedy Club in Bristol, Tennessee puts on every now and again. And it's just women celebrating other women comedians and giving a night to lady comics because it is a male dominated industry, as many things are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just setting aside a night specifically for women to come and do their craft and just be fucking feral.
And the past three times that I've went that you've been on, like I was going to say, you and everyone else on the lineups have been fan-fucking-tastic and so fucking funny. It's been some of the best shows that I've ever seen as far as like stand-up shows go. Like, it's so much, I don't know, like, guys, step it the fuck up. These ladies are fucking kicking your dicks in when it comes to comedy.
I would agree that it has been a very successful show for them, it would seem. I don't think I've seen anything negative about it. But, yeah, the reward isn't always there when you are creating. You don't always feel good about the things that you are doing. But I feel like seldom do people feel worse after practicing their craft.
That's true. Like, I mean, I can think of times where I've like shot something or like shot a short film or tried to write a script and not even do a couple of drafts on it. Just like, oh, it's finished. First draft. This is shootable. There are times where I've not felt good after like completing a thing, but like as far as like practicing or like trying, it's always felt right.
Yeah.
even if it like we go into like playing an instrument, it sounds terrible, but it feels fun.
Yeah, sure.
So sometimes you just have to allow yourself to suck at something.
Yeah.
And it sucks because like you hear all the time that, oh, the world is filled with bad fucking art all the time. Keeping it in. But a good thing to always keep in mind is that there are 7 billion assholes on the planet, God, and they shit more than once. So there's going to be a lot of shit in the world, guys. That's it's okay, though, because we clean up shit and we put it in a toilet and it goes down the drain and we don't even think about it because we don't want to know how that system works. We want our septic system to be exactly like every government official thing, such as like trying to do anything in law or trying to do anything in healthcare.
It's like it's, taxes.
It's so
we don't know anything about how
it convoluted. It comes so convoluted, people, that we don't understand it. Because if we understood it, we would look at it and go, "Well, this seems kind of fucking broken."
Yeah.
But it isn't. It's running exactly how it needs to. For the beneficiaries of it.
Oh, okay. I was like,
not logically.
Okay. Cool.
I'm not a corporate cuck here.
Yeah, it got weird.
But I do want to give a shout out to our sponsors this week at BetterHelp. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say Phallic Lollipop Co.
Are you tired of sucking on lollipops that look like vaginas? Get you a phallic one.
Where are you getting vagina-shaped lollipops?
We're trying to sell phallic ones, right?
Yeah.
So we want to appeal to cocksuckers. I'm sorry. We'll take that out. We're trying to appeal to people who suck dick, right?
Yeah.
So they would be tired of sucking a vagina-shaped lollipop.
I get that. I'm curious as to where you have found. I haven't seen a vagina-shaped lollipop.
Sandy.
Is that a problem people have?
I feel like this is adjacent to Rule 34. If you're going to look at me in the eyes and say there isn't a vagina-shaped lollipop, I will find a sex store that has millions. And don't look it up on my internet if you're going to look it up.
Gotta go incognito for that search.
Look, okay, Facebook ads is already recommending BDSM books to me. and the psychology behind it. I'm happy because it's no longer offering me dick pills, but it's figured out that it works, or it's figured out that I am sadistic. So you're gonna pull that up, Jamie?
Yeah. God, that would make you Joe Rogan, and that's yucky.
Well, I'm bald enough for it.
Yeah, but you're not ignorant enough for it.
No.
He should have stuck to feeding guys, people bugs.
Yeah.
Vagina-shaped.
We're looking up vagina-shaped lollipops on the computer right now just to describe them to you, because Sandy,
I just want to challenge their reality. Oh, a
pussy liquor pussy pops adult candy.
Amazon!
Pussy...
Wait. I'm sorry. I can't buy a fucking bong on Amazon, but I can I can buy a realistic looking vagina.
This is a beautiful tagline here. How much clit can your little tongue lick? Our pussy tastes great.
Oh my God, I didn't see.
What a hold on.
A titty pop?
There's a titty pop. Little booby hon. Little Booby Pop is the name. $5.69 on Amazon, people. Go get you 10.
Little Booby
Pop. A Little Booby Pop. This is beautiful.
Going on? What a weird. This is some creative energy here, folks.
Cum pop people.
Pecker bites.
Pecker bites. Carol should have had some of these.
All right. So I don't know if you guys know this, but apparently there is a thriving market for sexual organ genitalia shaped candies on Amazon specifically.
Well, you got to think of bachelorette parties and bachelor parties. I don't think dudes are like. The bachelor party I went to was like pretty chill and not bro-y, but
yeah,
bro-ies really go out and get vagina lollipops?
Certainly, right?
Here's a cum pop.
With
this thing is veiny, but that's jizz.
That's some serious texture.
That is some serious texture.
That's a veiny boy.
A blowjob bib. Beautiful. For $5.39, you too can get your partner a blowjob bib. I personally think we need to salute people who do that.
Unreal.
What is that? Is that a
dick lipstick? Yeah. No, that's what you're saying.
I love to wrap both my hands around it and swallow.
It's a wine glass, everybody.
Oh, it is a wine glass.
Jesus Christ.
Man, we have really just... Hold on. This is a beautiful culture.
Rainbow pecker candies. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're marshmallows. Oh my God, they're peeps.
Pecker peeps for
$9.99.
You too can get some pecker peeps. Guys, this has been a beautiful show, hasn't it?
It has been the anti-episode.
What have we learned... Sandy.
You almost called me Jeff.
I did almost call you Jeff.
Do
you have any final thoughts on any of this?
Sorry.
Well, guys, there you have it. I think my final thoughts are, if you're a creative person, regardless if you want it to be monetary or you just want to express yourself, you want it to be a hobby, you just want to do the thing, and you have trouble doing the thing, just know you're not alone. It's hard for everyone. Times are tough.
Yeah. Give yourself grace.
Give yourself grace and cherish the people in your life, because... It doesn't last forever. And, you know, when you can muster up the energy, create something, because regardless if it's bad art, we need more people expressing themselves and saying, hey, look at this thing. I am showing you a piece of my soul and heart.
Yeah.
Say that it's shit and call me gay.
Yeah. Be vulnerable. Put it out there.
Yeah.
Just they don't like sincere. It. Spit in their face. Run away.
Fucking burn down a government building, so folks. This has been all of us here at Everything is Traumatic. We love you. God bless. And
take care of yourself and don't litter.